I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Right, Mr. Passero, whenever you're ready, just read the script right there in front of you.
It's actually Passero. Okay. Hello there. That's a lot of O's.
If you could just ignore the amount of O's, just read it as written. Thank you.
Oh, right. Sorry. I'm Harcos Passero, and you're listening to Rolling in the Geek. What is Rolling in the Geek? I understand, but you. Passero, there's so many. I just don't.
Haircuts.
Trevor, where's Trevor? I need Trevor, please.
All right, we're going to have to call this. We're going to have to cut it early, guys.
Hello, I am Ken Brown, Game Master for Riven, the Shattered Continent, and I want to thank you for taking a seat at our table. Will my cohorts please introduce themselves?
Hello there, I'm Harcos Ironjaw Passero. I'm an Alakokra monk from Hokkaido, a Cavalier Knight for the people of Iron's Edge, and a proud member of the B Team. We are set on purging Riven once again of the dragon tyrants that seem to be resurging. Wait, that's what we're trying to do? We're gonna drag? Oh dear. And I'm portrayed by Nick Simpson.
And I am Trevor Ironjaw, Forge Cleric of Numerath. I have left this world once and witnessed what is waiting for me. However, my friends need me, and I promise to become the bulwark of this world to protect them, and the blade of Numerath to cleanse it of corruption. Portrayed by Brad Konala.
Thank you, my dear colleagues, and thank you all for joining us. Please sit and rest your weary legs and get ready for Rolling in the Geek. Hello, Ken here. We want to thank you deeply for listening to Rolling in the Geek. With the blessings of the rest of our little family, we want to request you support us through Patreon. We love doing what we do, and with your support, we can produce more and better content. Every bit goes back into the podcast, and more than three isn't a crowd at our table. And now, back to three guys with more dice than friends. Last time on Rolling in the Geek, the team have a lengthy discussion with Marcus about what he knows, about why he is the way that he is, and why Selena has become what she has become. I don't think that Nick got all the answers of why Marcus is the way that he is because he's a spider, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. He tells them that after a ritual, which was very similar to the Tunnel of Light ritual that you all experienced in the Riven Tales, that he awakened as he is now, able to speak and have more mental faculties than before. He surmises that a piece of Selena ended up in him, and vice versa. He also informs them that the component for this ritual was a statue that was made of Selena that was cleft in twain. I just wanted to use cleft in twain. He tells them that if Selena finds him, or if the remainders of her clan find him, that either of those two parties will kill him, so he cannot be of great assistance. But after the team asks, he concedes that he can help guide them through the passageways to the clan's home so that they do not get lost. He takes them through the odd pathways, and as they reach the last stretch, they go their separate ways.
The team breaches into a massive cavern through the tunnel that is supported by towering totem pole-type pillars. Beyond the pillars is a wall of ley line magic that is, by the looks of it, being fed through streams and rivers of liquid rainbow light. They debate about the instructions given by Marcus about how to get to the other side of the barrier wall, and eventually decide upon their path. They walk along and want to investigate one of the liquid light rivers, but get caught up in illusion that seems to be emanating off of the barrier wall. At this point, Trevor has an awful idea to try and pierce through the wall to see what is going on, because it appears to be much more calm and condensed than what they experienced on the train. But Harkos will not allow him to do that and says that he will do it in his stead. They tie themselves off to each other, and Harkos steps into the ley line. And as he opens his eyes, he sees himself in a large, comfy, black and silver feathered nest, and hears a woman's voice call out to him that breakfast is ready. And that is where we pick back up. Trevor, you see Harkos walks through.
Dick move.
It is. I'm sorry.
It's fine. I just wanted to call it out so people know I'm mad about it.
Trevor, you see Harkos walk through. He takes that first slow step, and then the rest of his body follows. And you can see his outline inside.
Uh-huh.
Like, you can see his silhouette inside of the ley line.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't seem to be getting pulled away from you at all. It seems like he's just, like, mere, like, maybe a foot or two inside.
Uh-huh.
And is just standing there, kind of with his arms stretched a little bit to the side, but doesn't seem to be, like, in pain or anything happening. Do you continue to let him chill until something changes, or what do you want to do?
Kind of look at Phil and Puffles.
Phil just kind of seems like he's just staring at Harkos, and he looks pretty uncomfortable with the situation. Puffles. So Puffles will say, well, he doesn't seem to be in any pain. I would give it a couple of minutes and see how his body reacts. If there's any signs of damage or, you know, discomfort, then I would definitely pull him out. But I think that he's fine for now.
All right, I shall give it a beat, as Harko said.
I can't imagine that he can survive in there for very long. That, I mean, people have died to the ley line exposure.
Yes, they have.
So, just this is a very fine line, and there is not a lot of room for error. Harkos.
Yeah.
You just heard the voice call out to you.
Okay, so I know you explained to me that I feel like I just had a really big rest. So, not saying that all up until now has been a dream, but one could surmise that the way you are explaining me to be feeling is that I was having a dream, but I wake up feeling like I had some really good rest, right? So, like, I don't necessarily remember before now. It's one of those, like, I woke up and I was like, oh, that was a weird dream, but the dream's gone.
Yeah. No, that you just woke up from kind of an odd dream, but you know, mom's got breakfast ready, so
okay.
It's time to get up.
Then I will. Harkos will have a moment of just, oh goodness. No more snacks before bed, I suppose. And he'll get up and he'll throw on some day jammas, as Jennifer calls them, and head head out to breakfast.
So as you stand up and you start getting your clothes on, you know, your day jammas, when you look at the, and you look at the right by the door, there's a set of, little slippers that are there that appear to be kind of like handmade. They got like some like fun fabric color to them. And little rubber soles, but looks like they've definitely been, they were handmade for you. Roll a wisdom save.
Okay. Okay, that's better. That's a 19 on the die plus 2, so 21.
Okay. For a second, you see like your vision changes and there's a flash and you see these little knit booties are there, and then when you kind of like blink your eyes, they're back to being the slippers.
So I would say when the vision and stuff, like when he does that, he kind of does one of those where he like half trips and stumbles into the wall and then catches himself. He's like, oh goodness. Oh, hi.
Harkos, honey, are you okay?
Yeah, no, I just, I got a little dizzy for a minute.
You know you're not supposed to stand up too fast, sweetheart.
I'm sorry. I'm on my way. And I will go to like slip on these slippers because presumably that, I mean, that's what Nick does. I put on my fucking slippers in the morning, so.
Okay.
And then again, proceed.
Okay, so you you exit your room and you see what you remember from your childhood home, that this hallway is built around a massive tree trunk, and there is a spiral staircase that's been built into the outside of this tree that takes you down to the kitchen that is the floor below you. As you peek out the windows, you can see that this is the height is incredible. Like we're talking like bigger than redwood type height mm-hmm. That you're built into here. So you walk down these stairs and you come into the kitchen and you see your mom, who is somewhat short. The best description that I can give you is a Kenku.
Okay.
It's like a raven person.
Yeah.
That she stands with a cute little apron on. That when she turns, it says "Kiss the Cook," and she smiles at you, and she seems to be cooking something on the stovetop.
Good.
Oh, did you sleep well, honey?
For the most part, I had some strange dreams, but they're far away now, so...
Oh, Harkos, did you have taquitos before bed again?
Don't check my nest for crumbs.
Mm-hmm. I told you. You eat those taquitos before bed, you always get weird dreams.
I can't help myself. They're like little warm, wrapped... presents in tubes.
I know, but they're a treat. They're not for right before bed. And you see that she takes something off of the skillet on the stovetop, and then she brings it over and she's made pancakes. And then she sets them on the table for you and she says, "Take a seat. Dad's already left for work, but you know, he said that he loves you and he can't wait to see you tonight." And she goes over to a tap that is in the tree trunk and she lifts a little lever on it and pours a syrupy liquid into a little crap. I'm trying to think of the right word, but pours the syrupy liquid into a cup and then sets it next to you that for the pancakes.
Okay, out of game. That's fucking genius. thank you, Mom. I do have quite the affinity for smothering your pancakes.
I know, sweetheart. She touches you on the shoulder and smiles. Make a wisdom saving throw.
Okay. that's 19 total.
Okay. So as she touches you, you look up at her and you have another one of those weird flashes, and her appearance changes drastically for just a split second. And the most prominent feature that you can see are these long black horns coming out from the side of her head that are pointing forward towards her beak. And then instantly they're gone.
So I'll say, because of the conversation that was happening as she came up, that I had picked up the cup of syrup. And in that moment, with that happening, like that flash, Harkos drops the cup to the floor. Like,
oh, sweetheart. Oh, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. There's no reason to cry over spilled syrup.
No, I don't
think that's the saying, but you know,
I don't. That's not the syrup. I don't feel very well today.
She puts the back of her hand against your forehead. It's, oh, well, you feel a little bit warm, but it's nothing too bad. Yeah. Right. Well, what? It just, you know, eat your breakfast. I'll get this cleaned up. Let's see if you feel a little bit better after.
Okay. So I will very, like, slowly, as I wonder, start to eat.
They're good. They're very good pancakes. That there's some like oats and stuff that have been mixed into the batter for it. that is kind of Mom's specialty. That she knows that this is your favorite thing for breakfast. And she goes and she gets another plate and gets the last pancake that she was making, and she slides it onto a plate for herself, and she sits down across from you and pours herself a little cup of syrup after replacing yours, and sits and starts pouring the syrup on for herself and starts taking her usual small kind of dainty bites of it as she watches you and smiles.
Okay.
Are you nervous?
Sorry.
Well, it's a big day today.
It is.
Oh, honey, you didn't forget, did you?
I mean, maybe. the stress of it all, you know.
Your awakening is today.
My what?
Oh, stop being silly, sweetheart. And she takes another bite and kind of shakes her head and smiles.
No, I don't know what you mean. I am awake. I got out of bed because you called for breakfast. I'm here now.
Oh, you're awakening. When you'll take your form.
I don't know what. I always look like this, though. I don't. I understand I could stand a preen a little bit more, but I.
Oh, but sweetheart, this isn't. This is a big thing. Like, this is something very important. I can't believe that you forgot. You're gonna stand before the elders, and you're gonna tell them
who you are and what you want to be. And then they will make your form true.
But I'm already what I want to be.
Well, but honey, you know what we are. Make another wisdom save.
No. This is gonna be where I fuck it up. I can fucking feel it in my bones. I got an 8. I just want the world to know that I rolled a 19 and then a 17 and now an 18.
So that's a dirty 20. Okay. So when she says, you know what we are, you have another flash. And then when you open your eyes this time, you're inside the ley line.
So I'm back, is what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I would say, just because of that interaction, Harkos is going to stumble backwards, like out of it, and fall on the ground. If I'm allowed to get out of it, I guess, if there's obviously some sort of resistance or whatever.
You're able to kind of walk yourself backward, that there's something stable underneath you.
Okay.
Like that you're able to kind of walk against to get yourself out. So Trevor, you see Harko's back pedals. This whole thing has taken maybe like 90 seconds.
Okay.
But yeah, it would be like a hurried movement. Like,
yeah,
because Tarkos doesn't know what's going on, so it would almost be like he was trying to run, but he's doing it backwards, so he went too fucking quick, and so then he put butt to stone really fucking fast because he fell on his butete.
Tarkos, are you all right?
Who?
No.
Harkos, what did you see?
Do I remember everything?
Yeah, okay. 100%.
I don't know. I saw something that I've wanted, but that something was wrong. I was in a home that I've never had, and I saw a mother that I never knew, but things were off. She was telling me that I had a big day ahead of me with an awakening, which I've heard before from I thought it was a good thing. It wasn't. She said I would step before the elders and speak my name and what I wanted to be, and then I would take that form, but I'm already what I want to be, and then I woke up, I came out of it, I was here again, and there's a very good chance that through this wall is our path, but we need to be very careful because it is very dangerous for your mind.
Trevor, you're probably closest. Not that Puffles is far off, but I would say that you can see that Harkos is like crying a little bit. And Puffles probably could too. I just know that Trevor would see it first. And Phil. I keep forgetting Phil's here because he's been kind of quiet. Phil hasn't been talking mad shit like Puffles. Not that Puffles has been like, Puffles, oh, but if we die. Shut up, Puffles.
Harkos?
Yes, Trevor.
If that is our path, then we shall travel it together, yes?
Well, Marcus did say that there was a door, that we just had to find it.
Yes, I...
Hopefully that the door does not involve just having to walk through this.
No, I agree with Puffles. I believe that we may be able to find a passage through the ley line wall. I could feel something beneath my feet, so there's got to be some sort of way through, but we just need to be careful of direct contact and any bleeding effect that it may have, because we're in a very strong, dangerous area right now, on top of everything else that's down here.
Well, whenever you are ready, then we should proceed onward. This is, I think it best we not linger for too long.
And with that, like, Harkos will pick himself up and kind of dust at the bottom of his robes and stuff and go, oh yes, no, and then, like, kind of wipe his face. I'm okay. We can keep going.
If you need a moment, by all means, take it. I'm sure that this was a difficult moment. I don't want to hurry you by any stretch.
I don't want to dwell on it too much. I've had thoughts like that before, and to have whatever happened to me, to have those thoughts bastardized in such a way. I'll be okay. I would prefer if we move on and put my mind onto new things.
I can't help but wonder if this was just the magics of the ley line corrupting your imaginations, or if there's more to it than just that.
I believe there's more.
When we have finished this task, I will see what I can find about the effects of the ley lines on one's inner thoughts. I will personally investigate and see what I can find for you. Maybe I can grant some clarity.
I don't think it was a message from me.
How do you mean?
Well, fuck. What is what's Cabal Lady's name? What's her name? God damn it.
Zuriel.
Zuriel, thank you. Good lord. Biggest fucking brain fart. Zuriel, she made me aware that the reliquary that we have, when we cracked it, some of Tormir, who's inside the one we have, may have gotten out, and not may have, did get out, and that's why I have. And he's going to gesture to the rings around his eyes, or around his iris, rather. I can't help but think that the wording that was being used with an awakening, it feels a lot like what's happening to Riven right now.
Oh, if it is something that you would want me to try and investigate, I would be more than happy to do it for you, my friend. But if you do not wish for me to pry, then I shall not.
No, by all means, any help we can get is great. I just I don't want it to be anything more than a bad dream, but I fear that it will be.
Well, let us continue then, if we are all ready.
Yes.
Trevor, are you ready?
I am ready when everyone else is.
You don't wish to poke yourself into the ley line? Please do not.
I shall.
I see the gears turning, Trevor. Please do not.
I shall do what I must when the time comes.
So are you all ready to go?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. So you continue on. And you continue north, I'm assuming?
Yes.
Okay. It seems now that things are moving the way that they should, that your travel is no longer impeded by whatever illusion was affecting you before. And so after a couple hundred feet of you walking, you do make it to, it's a little bit bigger than the one that you saw that was behind you, but it's still relatively small. One of these channels that, has the liquid light flowing. So what are you wanting to do?
I want to inspect it.
Okay.
See if I can
roll. See if I can.
Yeah, get anything off of it, like you know what? I don't know what my brain's tired. Brain's not letting me word well.
Why don't you roll an investigation, Arcos? Are you wanting to investigate, or have you had enough ley lines for today?
I mean, if I see Trevor kind of getting in there, I mean, I'll do what I can to help. I suppose
I rolled a 16. I got. No bonuses on investigation.
All right. I do it very begrudgingly, but I didn't do much better. I got 14. I have a 1 to investigation, but I didn't help out too much.
Okay. So you guys do you get down and get close?
Yes.
Or are you okay. So you get down and you get close, and the closer you get to this, you can feel a pressure difference when you're close to it.
That, like in the air, you mean?
Yeah. Like,
okay.
Like the air is almost more dense, like the thicker, closer you get to this. To the point that it just makes you feel heavier when you're close to this. Trevor, you notice this. It does not appear that this is natural. This appears to have been carved, not just cracked and things leaked this way. Something did this.
Ah,
So I'll point that out.
Hey. This doesn't look like a crack or a wear. It looks carved.
That's interesting. Who? Why?
I do not know.
Huh. To think that somebody would actually want to do this, would take something powerful to even be able to do this, and much less force a direction for the ley lines to move. If these have been made this way, then it stands to reason that the walls themselves were made to be this way. That this is not just the way that it was, but somebody constructed this barrier.
Agreed.
Well, and this is one of the smaller ones. We've seen much larger as well. Does not fill me with confidence.
Anything else that you're wanting to investigate with this?
So, being close to it, does my hammer change at all?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Oh. You don't notice a change in it. Just having it close, you don't notice a change.
What if I dip it in it?
Are you going to do that?
Yes.
Roll a constitution saving throw.
Roll balls. 19.
Okay. So you dip the hammer in and you feel a repulsion.
Oh.
Not like you're repulsed, but like something is pushing against you and pushing against the hammer.
Oh.
And then very quickly, that push becomes a pull.
Oh.
And something is trying to pull at your hammer.
I'll take the hammer out.
Hey, roll a strength check.
Is a 21.
Damn. It takes a little bit of force, but you're able to pull it out. And
this liquid that's on there starts to seep into the cracks where you inlaid the dragon rock.
I'll watch it as it does its thing.
All right, it, none of it drips off. That's kind of the weird thing, that as you're watching this, that it's not like, you know, a whole bunch of it kind of drips off and it falls and it, you know, but every single bit that is on here just slowly creeps and slides back into the hammer.
That's creepy as fuck.
Well, that's what the one of the main uses for dragon rock that you found is that at least widely, you know, it's used by the trains to absorb that energy. You know, it obviously you found other things that people were doing with it, but you know that you can understand why this is happening. Or, you know, that this should happen, but I would imagine that it's probably still a little disconcerting. So what do you do?
So
nothing seems to have changed about it.
Okay, that's what I was gonna ask. Once it seeps in, does my hammer still look the same?
It looks the same. There's a little bit more of like a rainbow effect to the inlay of dragon rock, but it doesn't appear otherwise changed.
I don't want to push my luck, so I think I'm gonna. So holding it up and like inspecting it, I'm gonna go, interesting.
Trevor.
Yes.
Why?
Well, why what?
Puffles kind of like reaches up and rubs at his forehead. Why did you dip the hammer into the dangerous, scary liquid light ley line magic?
Well, Puffles, it's because my hammer is made of dragon rock.
Well, it is not made of dragon rock. You inlaid dragon rock. That would be fucky. Like, hey, you were working with dragon rock, didn't even know it. That'd be a quick one for me to pull on you.
I want to put some of this into my hammer. Okay, you do it. It doesn't look any different. What are you? Oh, fuck.
Yeah, it's because I incorporated some dragon rock into my hammer, and I figured I would see what its reaction to the magic would be.
We, Harkos, just experienced something unpleasant in there. I don't know that it was well advised to dip something as precious as your main weapon into the dangerous, powerful, scary ley line magics.
Well, worst case, I could potentially make another. Or find one.
Okay, shall we continue on?
Yes, please.
Mm-hmm. what is Harkos doing during all this? Like, is this making you uncomfortable or anything? Or
yeah, I think so. He's definitely being kind of standoffish and spacey, I think, because like he doesn't want to. I wasn't just trying to move the session along. Harkos doesn't want to dwell on it, but he also can't help but dwell on what just happened. So, like, as we're doing other things, Harkos is 100% thinking about every detail of what happened. Mainly because Nick also is doing that, but it would make sense for Harkos to do that as well. So he's... Honestly, I would venture to say that he probably didn't even notice that Trevor did what Trevor did. Like, we inspected the stuff and was like, yep, this is weird. And then Trevor was like, it looks like this was made. And Harkos was like, that doesn't build confidence. And that was the then Harkos checked out.
Alright, so what do you want to do from here?
Keep heading north along the wall.
Okay. So you continue north. And you continue north. And you continue north.
Looking for an opening or anything.
Okay. Go ahead and roll. Roll a perception.
Fuck. 12.
11.
You guys have way too often
rolls that are right on top of each other. Yeah, I fucking agree.
Yeah.
Brad, roll better so I can roll better.
So you walk along. Nothing really seems to change. It's pretty much like the same landscape. You come across, this would be the one notable thing that happens along the way here, is that you eventually get to one of the larger, like, rivers of this, the liquid ley line light. But there's a bridge that's actually been built over it. Which you have not seen for any of the other smaller ones that you could easily step across.
I suppose this means we're headed in the right direction, at least.
I sure hope so.
Continue on?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. As you continue on, go ahead and roll another perception check.
Okay, that's a lot better. That's a dirty 20.
Okay.
Mine's a natural 20 plus 2.
Okay.
What did I say, Brad?
You're welcome.
Keep that shit up.
You're welcome.
Keep that shit up.
So you're going along, and Harkos, there's a flux in the flow of light from the wall. And it kind of seems in like a random place that there's not like markings or anything different. It's just there's this one section that's maybe about like 5 or 6 feet wide that is very different. Like its flow is slower than the rest of what's around it. And that flow seems to actually affect as far up as you can see.
So I'll kind of stop, and then like I'll be trying to pay like closer attention just to make sure that like what I'm seeing is what I'm seeing. Yeah, go ahead.
As you step closer to it, you can see that there is the outline of something inside of the ley lines. Trevor, you haven't quite seen this yet. But it looks very similar. The description that I gave for Trevor about what he saw with you, that is similar to what you're seeing, but the shape is more difficult to make out.
Guys, I think there's something here.
Trevor, do you investigate?
Yeah.
Okay. So you proceed in, or you proceed forward towards this flux. Go ahead and roll, let's say insight. to see how well you can kind of figure out, or investigation, whichever one.
Insight's solid. That's my big bonus.
Okay. All right.
Oh, 26.
Damn. I should have waited till after Brad rolled. I rolled a nat 1 with a plus 2 on insight, so
I rolled a 19 with a plus 7.
There's definitely some amalgamous orb inside the wall.
Trevor, this shape is reminiscent of something that you've seen before. That this shape is... it is very similar in look and appearance, but not necessarily size, to the shape of Numerath's head. It looks like a dragon head that is shadowed inside of this.
Does anyone else notice the shape of that?
Yes, it's very round. I said that. I called you over here, Trevor. Of course I saw the thing in the wall.
Arcos, it looks like a dragon. Well, the head of a dragon.
No, it does not. No, it definitely looks like a circle.
Perhaps you should look closer, friend.
I'm not going in again, if that's what you're saying. I'm not... I've wasted all my good rolls, clearly, so...
it looks,
be entering.
It's like the shape of a head is what the like...
It's like a silhouette, because you said it's like what you saw me. Like, when you saw that, like, I stepped in and you could see my outline in there with, like, my arms a little outstretched. You're seeing
a dragon
head. But it's a dragon head.
Yeah.
And now, you said you brought up Numerath. It looks like Numerath?
It is reminiscent of that, but it... I was using that as kind of like your jumping off point to make it look like a dragon head. I'm not saying it's fucking Numerath in here.
Okay.
There is just... That was...
I was curious of...
Trevor can make the connection.
I'm gonna go up there.
Okay. What are you going? Like, you get close to it. That's what you see. Like, are you pushing forward?
Hakos?
Yes.
Hold on to the rope tightly, please.
Puffles and Phil, help me hold onto the rope tightly, please.
Okay. And Phil comes up and he grabs a hold of the rope and kind of like, you know, like wraps it around his arm once and holds onto it to kind of have a good steady grip. And then Puffles comes up behind you and kind of like places his hand on your shoulder to kind of help brace you.
I go up to Trevor while they're like bracing with the rope and everything, and I like nod it, and I'm like just I just do a stupid little double knot, and I'm like just checking. I go, okay, I know it didn't hurt too bad, and I know that I can't really I don't want to do it, and I don't want our friends to do it, so I'm not gonna stop you, but if you don't come out, I will be forced to come in after you. So please be careful.
Just give it to Tug.
Just be careful.
I can't say that this isn't slightly terrifying.
Well, good luck, friend.
And then I'll go sit up next to the other two and get my stance on.
So I'll walk up super close to it, and then, like, hold my hand out,
mm-hmm.
and brush my hand across it first.
Okay. You brush your hand across it, and you feel substance. Like, there's something there. You know, like it again, a similar feeling as to what I described for Harkos, that, you know, it's like the feel of a flowing river. But you can tell when you put your hand in here that it is not quite as strong as the area that Harkos penetrated through.
Okay. Pull my hand out, kind of look at it.
Nothing seems to have changed.
It's wet. Take a breath and kind of glance over my shoulder and then step in.
Hey. I'm going to give you a very nervous thumbs up when you look back.
You step forward and you step through and you feel your body is washed over with this same feeling that you experienced on your hands, that this magic is passing over you. Now, please roll me a wisdom saving throw.
Suck it. 23.
You hear the man's voice, the man who came into your shop. You hear him saying, "Thank you. This is fine work. I have never beheld such a beautiful weapon. You were so nervous about doing this, and look what you have made for me, my friend. I am impressed."
Now, I just hear the voice. I'm in.
You hear the voice. You see just the ley line stuff, but you hear that voice, and it sounds very close. It sounds very, very close.
"I did not make you a weapon."
"Oh, but of course you did. Look at this heft. I can just feel the power inside this thing.
Ardenim is mine."
"That's what you named it? That's what you named it?" "Oh, my word, my friend. You are very dedicated to your craft. I must respect that."
"I think you've got the wrong person. You keep calling me friend."
"Well, we are friends. We made such a fine deal."
"No deal was struck with you."
"But of course it was." And you get this flash of a memory of you shaking this man's hand and going to work on his weapon.
That is not what happened.
"Are you so sure?"
"Yes."
"Then proceed." And the voice stops.
"I'll proceed."
Hey, you take another step forward and you feel your foot collide with something. You can't make out what it is, but it is solid. It is a very solid object that is rising out of the floor.
Can I look down?
You look down, all you can see is the flow of magic.
Am I still able to breathe and everything?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Like, and I would say that's actually, based on your previous experience, this is weird. Like, this is not what you experienced before.
Okay. I'm going to kneel down.
Okay. And you kneel down. Like, are you kind of searching around with your hands, or what are you doing?
If my foot's up against it, I'm going to kneel down and touch whatever's in front of my foot.
Okay. You feel something poke into your hand as you reach down.
Fuck. Like, ouch poke, or like, what the fuck poke?
Ouch a little bit poke.
Okay.
Like, you can feel, like, just that tiny little poke. Like, you can feel blood trickling out from your hand.
Oh, dear.
Not enough to cause damage, but...
Uh-huh. Maybe feel the side?
So, give me high or low.
High.
Okay. So as you kind of run your hand along, you feel long protrusions ending at a point.
Oh.
That as you, like, kind of run your hand along, you feel like a cylinder kind of shape, and then there's another one, and then there's another one. Like, that all kind of, as far as you can reach, you feel these, like, cylindrical things with something sharp at the end.
Like, teeth?
That's where my head went, too.
Stand back up and reach out up higher.
How tall are you? I think we just talked about this.
About my height, 5'11", 6 foot, somewhere in there.
Okay. So you reach your hand up, and kind of at your tippy fingers, you feel another point.
Ah, shit. Okay. I'm going to try to scoot my way along the side, like, to my left.
Okay, make another wisdom saving throw.
Oh, come on, big money. Dad, nat 20 plus 7.
Hey, you can feel, as you start to, like, make that sidestep, you are starting to lose where you are. Like, you lose track of where the skull is for a second, but you're able to, whatever you're feeling. Not the skull. Because I haven't told you that yet. But
<Get now. laughs>
you can feel where it is, but you almost lost track of it.
Okay.
And you get the sense that if you lose track of this, you could easily get lost within here.
Gotcha. Oh, dear. So... all right. I'm going to try to touch the side again and feel my way up the hopefully not teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And see where the tops of the bottom teeth are.
The tops of the bottom teeth are, like I said, if you're standing, you know, at your full height and you're reaching up, you're like, the tips of your fingers just brush the ends of the teeth.
Of the bottom teeth.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the top. Yeah, the bottom comes up like a foot and a half.
Okay. So I'm going to run my hand up the side until I feel, you know, roughly where the top is. And then I'm going to step over it.
Okay. You step over it and you feel something solid underneath your foot.
All the way in.
As you step down. You walk all the way in. And there is no longer clouded vision because of the ley line. That you are standing in what you can obviously tell now is a skull of a dragon. With its mouth open wide, teeth long and sharp, and sitting on a, like a weird kind of mass of rock and pieces of bone fragment is something that I am putting into Trello right now.
Oh, shit. It's not giving me the notification.
Nick found it.
I don't know what you added.
It's under the heralds. So sitting before you, sharpening this long, wicked looking blade, is a dragonborn. And he looks up at you, and you can see that his features are very different from who you've seen before, both Rimgar and Davinia. He's got these long spines coming out from the back of his head, a thick tail coming out from his back, and wearing some very his armor has definitely seen better days, but he looks at you, and then he stands to a very impressive 6'8" or so. And he sees you, and he kind of cocks his head to the side, and he says, "I am Irkor, herald to the Shimmering Luster, the Wealthy Worm, the Methuselah, Samrinton, within whom you stand right now." And that, my friends, is where we will call it for tonight. How we doing? Well, thank you all very much for joining us at our table. If you are enjoying what you're listening to, then we would humbly ask that you give us some support through one of our various channels. The first one being Patreon. We are good little warlocks, and we offer up sacrifices to our patrons, depending on the tier that you choose. If Patreon is not so much your thing, then you could do something as simple as just buying us a coffee. If you go to ko-fi.com and search for Rolling in the Geek, you can do a one-time donation there. Hey, Brad, where can these fine folks get in touch with us?
Inside of a dragon skull. Oh, yep. Wait a minute. You can subscribe to us on our website at subscribe to our newsletter on our website at RitGeekPodcast.com to keep up with all things Rolling in the Geek. Or you can find us on any of your favorite ear bacon stations. Also, we are very active on Twitter, and if you want to talk to a bunch of rad content creators, podcasters, artists, and all-around cool people, you can join us in the Underground Oracle Discord through the link on our website.
Thank you very much, Brad. Nick, this week, you are the sound wizard of the School of War Magic.
Ooh.
With your... With your sound editing capabilities, you counterspell the poor sound quality that can sometimes be pervasive and use that power to enhance the rest of the show. Can you please dispel us something fun to go out on?
Okay.
Side note, probably one of the wizard that I want to play is a war magic wizard. I think that they're underappreciated. I think that you could do really fun stuff with them. But anyway.
So Hootie Hoo from Nick and Harkos as
what? We took a were forced to take an emotional knee in episode 63. And oh boy, will there be so much more in episode 64. Speaking of episode 64, won't be out next week. It's going to be the first episode of the new year, because we're going to release a one-shot episode on Christmas, just as a little bonus thing. So when you don't see the canon episode on Christmas Day, don't freak out. It is still coming. We're just doing something special for Christmas. I'm sure
that we will announce that.
Yeah, we're going to announce it elsewhere. But just in case this is your first time hearing it, definitely check our Twitter and stuff, and you'll see the rundown there for that. But that is what's going to happen. So, speaking of Christmas, we are at a point where I only got one more song to sing to you guys. It's going to be in our Christmas one shot. But I got this is the penultimate Christmas song, and what better time than the penultimate one than to sing a song about Ken? So, without further ado, here is episode 63's Christmas parody. Do enjoy. You've gotta watch out. He's really quite sly. His cliffhangers make you shout, but he's not a bad guy. Ken the GM kills it every time. He plans like a boss, builds some cool shit. He'll make a big deal about any character loss. Ken the GM kills it every time. He has ideas while sleeping, flushes them out once he's awake. He leads us on with happiness, but plans bad things like a snake. So keep your eyes peeled. He never quite lies. When Shin gets real, you're gonna fucking cry. Ken the GM kills it. You know he's gonna kill it. Ken the GM kills it every time.
Jesus. Love how like there's backhanded compliments that whole time. I loved it.
wouldn't be a Nick parody without anything other than backhanded compliments.
It makes me warm and fuzzy, but also makes me wonder if you secretly hate me a little.
No, I reserved that for all the fake votes I put in for the hero episodes.
I wish I took time to put in a bunch of fake votes.
Oh man, the free time I would have.
Stop it recording.
Right, Mr. Passaro, we're going to have to go.
Passaro, my name is Passaro. Yes. Last name is Passaro.
Yes, Passaro. I apologize. We're going to try this one last time. Do you have any questions?
Yes, so I have a few questions, actually. Are you recording Trevor and I's life? This doesn't feel real. I don't understand what's going on. I don't want to be here. What is a Rolling in the Geek? I'm so confused.
Great.
Cassie?
Another crazy one.
Doric?
Yeah, just...
Who am I?
This is completely unusable.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.